but it may be Hebrews 11. I was so blessed in reading that. What a good series of messages it would make to take each one of these examples of faith. I thought about that. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah, and so on. It would be difficult to do them all in one message. My dad could do it. He can preach all the way through Romans 8 in one message. And anybody, then he can do it. Hebrews chapter 10 is our text this morning. Hebrews 10, and I sure hope that this will be some help to someone this morning. Paul said he wanted to be a helper of your joy, for by faith you stand. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians. I'm a helper of your joy. That's what we spoke of in the early morning hour. And he says, for by faith you stand. That should have been my text, I guess, because that went along so well with everything so far. I want to be a help to you this morning. I know this should be, because what helps me helps you. I'm a man of like passions as you are. Similar troubles and trials. Hebrews chapter 10 and 11 deal with faith. These chapters deal with the struggles, with the trials of many people. Many people who lived before us, who lived by faith. That's how they lived. That's how they survived. They lived by faith. Look here at Hebrews 10, verse 38 is my text. It says, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. This is vital. So much so, the Scriptures quotes this four times. This one short phrase, four times, Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and now here. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? What is faith? What does it mean to live by faith? You want to know? All right, let's look over at Romans chapter 3. Now, keep your place in Hebrews 10. We'll come back in a moment. Romans chapter 3 tells us what faith is. Romans chapter 3. He said, the just shall live by faith. The just. What does that mean, the just? Well, it means the justified. That's what it means. The justified. Those who have been justified shall live by faith. Justified. What that means, and you know what that means, but I'll tell you again. It means to be declared holy. It means to be declared righteous, not guilty. It's a simple way to remember the word, but it's a good one. Just as if I'd never sinned. It is God that justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. God declares all believers in Christ just as if I'd never sinned. Holy, harmless, undefiled. So look at Romans 3, verse 19. It says here, now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Whatever God's word saith, that's the law, not just the Ten Commandments. But we're guilty of breaking it all, aren't we? Don't you find that whenever I or any other man preaches messages that call on us to do our duty, and we do have duty. Believers ought to do things. But don't you find yourself feeling more guilty than anything? Huh? Don't you? When we talk about what we should do and how we ought to be and so forth, and we do. Scripture does. Don't you find yourself feeling guilty? Well, that's what the law basically does to us. Makes us feel guilty. It says we are guilty. Look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the deeds of the law, nobody's going to be declared holy. Why? Because God looks on the heart. That's why the Scripture says in Romans 7, the law is spiritual. Now that means, I'm going to lose you if you don't stay with me. I'm trying to make this just as simple and as easy to listen to as possible. I know we've heard these things before, but there's somebody in here who hadn't. Guarantee you. Maybe you, I don't know. But the law, the Scripture says, is spiritual because God looks on the heart. God looks on the motive. God looks on the thought. And we know that we've never thought perfection. Our motives have never been perfect. That's what God demands, all right? So he says, we know now that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Why? Because God first looks at the heart, doesn't it? Doesn't matter how good it appears on the outside, God's looking first at the heart, isn't it? And that's the reason Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I give my body to be burned, it doesn't, I might as well have burned something else. It availeth me nothing without love to faith in Christ. Vicki, what's wrong with faith is sin, right? Right? All right, read on. Verse 21 and 2. Now the righteousness of God, but now the righteousness of God, holiness, with God, without the law, or that is, without us keeping it, is made clear, manifest. And it's witnessed by the law. Even the law says, this is how you're going to meet me. This is how you're going to be accepted. Even the law says that. Isn't that what he says, Rick? The law is our schoolmaster. That's what we were rejoicing over, wasn't it, John? The law takes a whip and says, you better run to Christ now. That's all the law says to the believer. It keeps saying, you better get out of here and get to Christ just as quick as you can. The schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Even the law, it says, and the prophet, verse 22, the righteousness of God, read on, and the word which is in italics. Let's leave that out. Even the righteousness or holiness of God, justification with God, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who it is. But I'm the chief of sinners. No difference. They've all sinned and come way short. But you don't know what I've done. He does. And he says, doesn't matter who it is. Makes no difference. It makes no difference. And I will declare righteous and holy whoever comes to me by Christ. It doesn't matter. Look at, read on.
Verse 24, for all have sinned, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. I love that word. Freely. Declared. If Martin Luther was sitting in here this morning, he'd be shouting amen. Because he'd lived 30-some years trying to do penance, trying to work his way to God, to the point of crawling up steps, kissing steps, crossing himself each time, living a monk's life, trying to appease God, trying to please God. When the verse of Scripture came to his mind, the just shall live by faith. It says he jumped up. Said that Scripture came to his heart as if somebody spoke it out loud. The just shall live by faith. He said he jumped up, quit kissing steps and crossing his chest, and ran outside into the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. Alive. Oh, he was dead in religion. Justified freely. That means without money, without price, without condition. I told you that illustration that somebody calls you, and they said, you've won something. You've never won anything, have you? You ever won anything? We won a trip, didn't we, to Paris? No, we didn't. She worked hard for that. And I worked a little bit. We won a trip. No, we didn't. We worked for it. We don't ever win anything. There's nothing free, is there, Henry? Free. Buy this, get this one free. No, it's not free then. I have to buy something, that's not free. Being justified freely. When God says free, he means free. He says, come without money, without price. Freely. But don't I have to freely? Ask the thief on the cross. He'll tell you what free means. Freely, justified freely. He'll tell you. Ask him. That dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. We're going to be able to ask him someday. He's going to be up there. Now, wait a minute. What did you do for Jesus Christ? Why, nothing. I lived all my life against him. Even almost to my dying breath, I was cursing him. Cursing him to his face, but God, who is rich in mercy, evidently loved me and opened my blind eyes that I might see Christ. And I wouldn't have seen him if he had not opened. I would not have called on him if he hadn't called on me. Oh, I'm here by the free grace of God. That's why. Ask that publican in the temple. Huh? He went into that temple. It says all he could do, all he could say was, oh. That's all he could say. And Christ said, this man went down to his house justified. Well, he didn't win one soul to Jesus. He didn't straighten his life out. He didn't turn over a new leaf. He didn't do anything. He walked out of there justified, just as if he'd never been a publican. I love this. I love to say that. See, he's a publican defender. He's an advocate, court-appointed lawyer, of publican defender, or a publican defender, or publican offenders. How about you, Barbara? What have you ever done your whole life for God, but sin? I say unto you, it makes no difference. You believe Christ, it's just as if you've never sinned. He said, there's sins and iniquity I'll remember no more. No more.
Believing Christ. Believing Christ. Oh, my. Just looking to Him. That's faith. Justified by Christ. Declared holy. All right, it says the just shall live. All who believe Christ shall live. Just look at verse 24. I've just about left this out. It said, justified freely by His grace. It's all by His grace, isn't it? It's all of grace. It's all a gift. Everything. From repentance to calling to faith, especially this unspeakable gift. Read it. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how we're justified. That's why we're justified. Who is He that condemneth? God that justifies. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? Can't. Why? Because Christ died. Sentence has been carried out. No matter how much I feel guilty, it's been paid for. And no matter how much the accuser levels at me, and it's all true. It's all true. It says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Everything he says is true. But Christ stands in the gap between me and the accuser. And when the accuser points his finger at me, he's pointing at Christ and says, guilty, Christ is paid. It shows that the receipt's paid in full. Death. Paid. Paid. The redemption is in Christ, verse 25, whom God set forth, foreordained to be a bloody covering through faith in His blood. Now, I've said it so many times, and it bears saying again, that it took nothing less and nothing more, but nothing less than the bloody, torturous death of God's Son on a cross to pay for one of my sins, let alone all of them. Nothing will suffice but that. So we dare not bring anything else. Never. Scripture says, if righteousness come by the law and Christ died in vain, why did God put His Son on that tree? Why did it please the Lord to bruise Him, make Him a bloody piece of meat? If there was another way, there is no other way. That's whom God set forth as a bloody covering. I remember reading, I used to like when I was a boy to read the survival stories or mountain men, early frontiersmen who go up. I read every one I could get my hands on. And there were some instances, true stories, of men who were just about to freeze to death. And they were without warmth, and the only thing they could do was kill their horse. And they'd kill their horse, and they'd slit or shoot a deer or something, and slit that animal's belly open and crawl inside of that bloody, dead animal and wrap themselves up to get warm. And they survived. They lived. Now, what, isn't that gory? Can you imagine? That's just what I want to do. That's the only way I'm going to survive. But that bloody man hanging on that tree, I know it's grotesque, and I know modern civil people don't like to talk about it or think about it. They're too civilized for that. Buddy, I need to be in Him, covered by that bloody carcass. Don't you? Where the carcass is, that's where the eagle's going to gather. Feed on Him, in Him. Now that's a good illustration. All right, and that's faith. That's faith. To be found in Him. You're going to be left out in the cold if you're not. Be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, it won't cover, will it? Filthy rags. It is a thin sheet. It's too short to cover, share in. Isn't that what the Scripture says? The bed's too short. It won't cover. But God's arm's not too short. And His robe wraps all the way around me, and it warms my cold heart. In Him. Justified by faith. That's what faith means. That's what faith means. Be found in Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. All right, back to Hebrews 10. All who believe Christ, look to Him. Believe in His blood. Trust His blood to save them are justified by God Almighty. Justified freely by His blood. Freely. Declared holy. All right, the just shall live. We're going to live before God. We're going to be with God someday. Alive. In the land of the living. With God. Why? Because Christ died. And now ever lives. All right, well, here's the next meaning of this phrase. The just shall live before God by faith in Christ. But the just shall live in this world, this life, this conversation, or this sphere, we're going to live. We're going to make it. We're going to survive by faith. And that's the only way. Now, you need this. I know you do, because I did, and I tried it on. It wears well. All right, look at it with me. Hebrews 10. Now, that this means that we're going to live here. Look at verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. He says, now, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What is the profession of your faith? What do you hold to? Well, I hold to the doctrines of grace. You better not. Well, they won't help you on the deathbed. You can't, like Maurice says, hug up to the doctrine, a doctrine. But you can a person. A person. What's the profession of your faith? Huh? It better be one word. What's the profession of your faith? Christ. 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 Like Ellen said, you know, the last thing I remember her being able to intelligibly say to me when I said, what's the gospel? What's your hope? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all you need to know. Isn't it? Haven't you said a lot? I tell you what, you said it all. When you said that, you said it all. Hold fast without wavering the profession of our faith without wavering. That means tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or trials. Read the next line. It's in parenthesis. What a wonderful parenthetical phrase. Huh? The parenthesis in God's Word is worthy to be put on our church building. Huh? He is faithful, that promise. For He is faithful, that promised. Hold fast without wavering, because He never lied. Look at chapter 12. Turn over here to chapter 12. And we just read, Rick just read for us chapter 11. A lot of people. It mentioned over a dozen people by name. That's the reason it'd be hard to do one message. But the Scripture calls by name over a dozen people and a great cloud of witnesses, it says here in verse 1. So he says in verse 1, look at it, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people who live by faith. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience
Remember that word. The race is set. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A great cloud, a whole lot of people. Listen to me now. Just a few more minutes. A whole lot of people have lived on this earth since you have, since I have. A lot of believers. And they have been people who have never seen God. Just like you. There has been ladies working out in the workplace, mothers of children, just like there was a Deborah. In scriptures, she never saw God. She didn't have a Bible. She worked. She had problems, troubles, trials, heartache, suffering, sorrow, temptations, severe trials, tests of their faith. Many, many people. You think you're the only one? We think we're the only one. Don't we get that Elijah syndrome sometimes? I'm the only one. No, you're not. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Nobody's been through the troubles like I have. Oh, yes, I have. Worse. But you don't know. Yes, I do. Paul says it. Paul's the one who gives the most comfort. He's the one writing this. He was doing it from a jail cell. Nobody is troubled like he was. Nobody's ever been as lonely as Paul except Christ. And he more so. Nobody's suffered physically as much as Paul except Christ, and he more so. And Paul is writing this to comfort us. The just shall live by faith. Trust in Him, the person, the Christ. We have a great cloud of witnesses of people who went through severe trials. Noah. Well, let's just go ahead and preach it. Noah. So I've been working a long time. I just went and got retired. That's what Henry thought. For so many years, you know, when he was earlier than that, when he was in his 30s. Oh, for retirement. 40s came. Oh, I want to quit this. 50s. Oh, it's never going to end. Put yourself in Noah's place. Rick, how many houses have you built, you thought? I remember that one in Roanoke. It had all those peaks and valleys and those different roof lines. And you laid awake at night, didn't you, thinking about that? I'm never going to do it. Didn't you think that? I'm never going to get this built. Did it, didn't you? Try building a boat. With rubber mallets and chisels, no nails, no DeWalt's, it'd take you 120 years. 120 years. I never going to finish it. Huh? People making fun of it. That's not the illustration. The illustration is him believing God. And the whole world. Can you imagine the ridicule? The persecution. Henry, can you imagine? No, ain't nobody believes like rain. You know, at first, you know, back years ago, somebody might have believed, you know, rain. It's going to rain. Yes, the first year, you know, Noah said that. Really? Well, 100 and some years later, it rained. All things are continuing as they always have. No, ain't nobody believes like that anymore. That's so old-fashioned. It's going to rain. And me and my family are going to get in the ark. It's going to rain. No matter what anybody says, no matter what the modern world says, it's going to rain. And by God's grace, me and my family are going to get in that ark, which is Christ. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham, an old man. I thought about Sarah. When I read that, I thought, I am preaching on this, aren't I? I thought about virgin. How old was she when... I got to go on. I've got to preach this another time. I'm in Hebrews 10. With all these people. Great cloud of witnesses. Read it for yourself. Preach it to yourself. Great cloud of witnesses. Went through the same, Deborah, more difficult things than you'll ever go through. You don't have to take Andrew up and put him on an altar and take a knife and get ready to stab him. You don't have to do that. Abraham did. But he was going to do it. But God, who's rich in mercy, he went down from that mountain saying, oh, how merciful. Abraham believed God. Try it. Get some peace. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Abraham didn't see God. But he believed God. By the just shall live by faith. Bobby, you're not going to make it unless you trust the living Lord. For he hath said, all things work together. For he is faithful who promised. It's going to end soon. I'm coming. Oh, I'm way ahead of myself now. Way ahead of myself. Look at verse 30. Where am I? Chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Do you think Noah needed those boys around? Or his wife? I think of poor Job. He didn't have anybody. And his wife was an unbeliever. And she said,